Well, good evening. Merry Christmas. Wonderful to gather together in the evening to hear the scripture read of the Christmas story, stories that we've heard so many times before, but good to have them brought before us again and to sing these hymns that have the beautiful story of the gospel message. I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like to be one of the shepherds out there that night when the angel came and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." What a beautiful summary of the Christmas message. You have a Savior, which also implies you need a Savior. And it's when that message takes residence up inside of you, it is life-transforming, and it gives you a hope that never, ever can leave you the same. It just can't. It's impossible for you to remain the same when you encounter the gospel message. For many, Christmas Eve is always an exciting and a joyous time, with great family traditions, carols, perhaps hot chocolate, lots of goodies. Time seems to slow down and great memories are formed. I'm sure there are many children out here tonight who are going to have a little bit of hard time falling asleep tonight in anticipation of what is awaiting them in the morning. For others, Christmas can be a difficult time. Now, this is the second Christmas after my sister Kathy died, and there is no doubt we miss her. And there's a big hole that we all feel, in fact, all the more during the holidays. And perhaps you know how it feels if you've lost a loved one recently. The holidays can be a constant reminder that, yes, this person is no longer here. And for many others, Christmas can be, sadly, a painful time. Broken and dysfunctional families are faced with the reality that things are not the way they're supposed to be. It's painful when the family can't all be together because of relational conflict or because of divorce or separation. It can also be painful when, perhaps out of obligation, you have to spend tomorrow afternoon with that person. Whether it be that, don't look around, you know, whether it be with that obnoxious uncle or that very controlling in-law or that just annoying nephew. Not that I'm speaking from my own experience. I love all my nieces and nephews. But the good news is that because Jesus was born, because you have a Savior, you don't have to be controlled by all these other circumstances that we face in life. Through faith and repentance in Jesus Christ the Lord, you have a hope for the future that actually transforms you right now in the present. Hope is one of those interesting words. As I started thinking about it, it's like one of those words like love. You know, love, I can love pizza and I can love my wife. Two very different types of love, but yet we use the same word to describe it. Well, hope is similar in that it can express simply a desire, I hope I get a new bike for Christmas. But at the same time, hope can also describe a drive within you that is so deep and so powerful that it enables you to undergo the worst and most severe circumstances and to persevere through them. In Scripture, hope is often used as an indication of certainty. It is a confident assurance of something you expect in the future, but yet do not have at the present. But you expect it so certainly that your hope is sure. In Romans 8:24, it says that no one hopes for something they already have. So hope is something that is yet out there. You're still waiting for it. But at the same time, it controls the way that you live and act today. It has to. For example, I heard a story of two different men who had just been captured, thrown into a dungeon, and sentenced to 10 years of hard labor. However, just before getting captured, the first guy found out that his wife and his children were dead. Whereas the second guy, just before he was captured, found out that his wife and his children are alive, and they're waiting for him. I'm sure you can figure out how the rest of the story goes. In just a couple of years, the first man withered away and died before finishing his sentence. Whereas the other man, he endured. He stayed strong, and he walked out a free man 10 years later. That is the power of hope. Both of these men had the same sentence. Both of them faced the same circumstances, but they faced it differently because of what they believed about their future, of what they believed they were going to receive later on. And for the second man, his hope of reuniting with his family in the future transformed his attitudes and his actions in the present. And it's the same way for those who believe the Christmas message. If you know you have a Savior, if you know what awaits you in the future, this confident assurance has to transform you. It transforms your attitudes and your actions right now. And also, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, how much more do you have a secure hope than even the man in the story I just told? For the security of your hope is only as strong as its object. For example, suppose you have a car that's prone to break down quite often, but you still say, I hope my car makes it to Michigan this winter. Well, with that car being the object of your hope, that may not be a very secure hope. In fact, it may be very futile and, quite frankly, a false hope. But with Jesus as the object of your hope, it is secure. It's guaranteed. Psalm 25, verse 3 says, no one whose hope in you will ever be put to shame. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. In Hebrews 6:16 says, hope in Jesus is an anchor for the soul that is firm and secure. So if Jesus is the object of your hope, what is it that is still yet in the future? What are we waiting for but do not yet fully possess? Well, in short, we hope for the fullness of our salvation. We sung about it in so many of those hymns just a few minutes ago. We know that since Jesus came once, his first advent, as Scripture even foretold he would do, we have a confident assurance that he will come a second time, just as he promised he would do. And we are waiting for the fullness of our salvation. During his first advent, Jesus came born as a baby in Bethlehem. as we've read about tonight. Also during his first advent, he accomplished salvation for all of God's people, even as the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, a Savior has been born to you. And so this baby born in a manger died on a cross and rose from the grave so that anyone who believes in him will be saved. And if you have acknowledged your need for a Savior, and if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, Scripture says you are saved. Think past tense, already done. Through faith in Jesus, when you trusted in him, you were immediately forgiven of all your sins. You were immediately declared to be righteous in God's sight. You were immediately adopted as a son or daughter of God. It's finished. Nothing else can ever change that. And at the same time, Scripture speaks of your salvation as a process. You are being saved. Think present tense. And so though you are forgiven and declared to be righteous in God's sight, as I'm sure those who know you can fully attest, you still struggle with sin. You are not yet perfect. However, you are filled with the Holy Spirit who sanctifies you. In other words, the Holy Spirit helps you or enables you to become who you already are in Jesus Christ, an outwardly righteous child of God. He helps you to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And that, by the way, is a lifelong process. And finally, Scripture also speaks of our salvation being in the future. The fullness of our salvation is yet to come. But there is a day that is coming when Jesus will return. That will be his second advent. But instead of coming as a humble baby in a manger, he will come as the resurrected, triumphant King of kings and Lord of lords. He will once and for all defeat all of your enemies, Satan, sin, and death. And when he returns, you will no longer struggle with sin. There will be no more broken families, no more pain, no more death. Jesus will make everything right. He will bring heaven down to this earth, and we will, with resurrected bodies, live with God and one another in perfect community. Can you imagine what that will be like? With joy and with love forever. If Jesus is your Savior, you are saved now. But the best is yet to come. If you know what awaits you in the future, this hope transforms your attitudes and your actions right now. Your hope in Jesus gives you the capacity to endure all circumstances. And this hope, because it is secure, it can never be crushed. No one can take that hope away from you. And so that means that you will have strength and endurance to make it through this Christmas. Strength and endurance to make it through any situation you encounter. You will have strength and endurance, even though a dear loved one may no longer be living, or even though your family can't all be together because of broken relationships, conflict, separation, or divorce, or even though your family has to be together despite our complete dysfunction. Well, this hope in Jesus gives you the ability to be patient with that obnoxious uncle, to be respectful to that very controlling in-law and to be loving towards that annoying nephew. This hope in Jesus gives you joy this Christmas because one day He will make all things right. So let's live in light of that truth. Will you pray with me? Father God, we do praise You and we thank You for Jesus, our Savior. We thank You that He will come back. And He will make everything right. Will You strengthen us with hope that we can endure any and all situations or circumstances to Your glory because we know what is awaiting us in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.